You may be seated. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. We've read it several times. Russ read it Friday night. But we're in the 5 A's of Christmas, and so far we've looked at the announcement from the Old Testament perspective, looked at Isaiah and Micah. We looked at the angel's role in Christmas from the Old Testament to Jesus' birth. Last week we looked at anticipation, and not just Mary and Joseph's anticipation, but again, all the Old Testament saints, as they knew the scripture, they knew the promises, they knew the prophecy, but they were waiting. They were hoping that it would come in their lifetime. And I've asked you several times, imagine yourself living in Old Testament times as an Old Testament saint, knowing what the prophecy said. And again, we know from our vantage point that it happened. But if you were an Old Testament saint, knowing the promise is coming, but waiting for it to happen, that would be very aggravating. We don't like to wait. So today we're going to look at the arrival of Christ. And this is what is called the Advent season. We have the Advents here. It starts with hope, peace, joy, love, Christ. It's usually the four Sundays before Christmas. And Advent is really what nativity is. We think of the word nativity. And nativity means the place that you're born or to be born. And together we're celebrating the birth as it culminates in Christ, the arrival of Christ. And we have looked at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. But right now, I just want to read verses 10 to 14 because that's what our sermon this morning is going to be on, verses 10 to 14, if you look at your notes. But let's just read verses 10 to 14. It says, "And the angel," this is after it appeared to the shepherds, "the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly it was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" We know what Christmas is about. Everyone in this church knows what Christmas is about. One of the things I'm very, very grateful for is Cheryl's brother and his wife are here with us, and having Christian family. We don't gather together where we're going to offend someone by saying Merry Christmas. All of our family and our extended family are believers, and we're very grateful for that. So our church understands what Christmas is all about. But do you realize the majority of the world, matter of fact, most of the world, misses it? They still think of Christmas as being about gifts, about just the seasonal songs, about the festivities. They don't think about the reason for the season. And Ron had up that little glimpse. You probably already saw it. We've played this a couple of years ago. You've probably all seen it. You know the scene out of The Grinch. But it's one of my favorite capsulated statements about what Christmas is all about. Ron, if you just play that, it's about a 4-minute section of what Christmas really does mean.
Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't
come from a star. Maybe Christmas. Perhaps. Means a little bit more.
What happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Some of you were probably hoping it was going to go on, weren't you? His heart grew 3 sizes that day because he realized that Christmas perhaps meant a little bit more than packages and bows and the gifts. But you know, our world still looks at that as being the answer to Christmas. But as we talk about this fifth A, or fourth A, next week we're going to look at Anna and Simeon because we're a week behind with the having to cancel church a couple weeks ago. As we look at this, what does his arrival mean to us today? What does it signify? What's the importance of it? What did it mean 2,000 years ago? So how is it impacting our world today? It's not a pagan holiday. It's not a day for toy makers and gift makers to make a profit. It's not a day that we receive gifts for someone else's birthday. But it is a very important time for us. Let's see if I can get this to work. Ron, can you make that? There we go. As we said before, I believe Mary's pregnancy was very normal. I don't think she was saved from any pain. She wasn't removed from any of the discomfort that normal women go through when they have a pregnancy. We've said that she had to pay taxes. They faced political pressures just like everyone else in that time. Matter of fact, that's why they were heading to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. As a result of the pregnancy, they faced social pressure and probably some being outcast in a lot of ways. The very night that she needed a room, there was no room available. So they faced some difficult times. But we also said that as we waited as an Old Testament saint, there was a gap period of over 400 years. By the way, how many of you have read through the Bible using that system? I know we gave that package out last year. Anybody continue through that for the year? Okay, good. If you're on that, you're reading through Nehemiah right now, and that's what you're going to be closing with. Most people think that Malachi was the last book of the Old Testament because that's what appears. Nehemiah and Malachi were written about the same time, about 424 years B.C. So they're not exactly sure which book was last, but most believe that it was Nehemiah that was the last book written in the Old Testament. But again, there was a gap of over 400 years when God was silent. Again, he had given the prophecies about Jesus' birth, and that's what they were waiting for. That's what they were anticipating. But there was a gap of over 400 years when God didn't say anything. And imagine the nerve-wracking time that would have been. If you were an Old Testament saint looking for the arrival of the Messiah, and then God giving these prophecies, but then nothing for 400 years. So we're going to take that word gap, and that's what's in your notes this morning. Take a look at how does his arrival really impact us, using the word gap. So the first thing is, and you see it in your notes, it's the gift of good news. When this message, and again, this is in verses 10 to 12, let me just read them one more time. An angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who was Christ the Lord." When the message came from the angels that night, there was no reason at all for anyone to think that this birth of this baby in a manger was going to have any impact at any time beyond their lifetime. Certainly, they were not looking 2,000 years beyond that night and saying, boy, this baby is going to impact everybody. There was no reason for the shepherds to think that. There was no reason. Mary had heard it, but she still didn't understand everything. Joseph, I'm sure, didn't either, that this baby was going to impact so many people. If you remember the other night, we showed that that video to close out our message talking about the cross. And if you remember, as he was hammering the nails into the cross, the Roman centurion, as he was building the cross, he said, if Jesus is who he says he is, or if he's not who he says he is, this story is going to die out in a week or two. He said, maybe give it a year. Because stories, people were claiming to be God, and people were claiming to be all kinds of different things back in Bible times. But he said, but if Jesus is who he claims to be, this message and this man is going to impact the world. And that's what happened. We know when Jesus arrived, it did impact the world. It wasn't just a thing that just impacted the Jews of his day. It wasn't just a thing that impacted Mary and Joseph and their extended family. This birth, this arrival of Jesus was the gift of good news. So what was the impact of the good news? And again, I have those all in your notes here. But it says we can avoid the judgment to come. And that's what it says about great joy. It's going to be a news of great joy. The world tells us, or the word of God tells us, there's only two choices. We can get to heaven as a result of trusting in this baby's arrival and then his ultimate sacrifice of his death and resurrection, or we can reject and end up in hell. The world says there's many, many roads to heaven. There's many ways to get there. We have normal thing that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life on our banners. Jesus said that. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's only one way to get to heaven. And we can avoid the judgment that is coming if we trust in this baby. Second, there's no sin beyond his grace and his mercy. To think about that, there's hope for the murderer. There's hope for the addict. There's hope for the sexually impure. There's hope for the Muslim. There's hope for the Buddhist. There's hope for every person who denies Jesus Christ at this point. There is no limit to his offer of salvation. When we make an offer, we see it all the time for a limited time only. If you're applying for something, they say this is good for qualified people. If you put in your financial picture, they say if you qualify for this loan, you can have it. We put limits on everything. God didn't. God said it's for all people. This offer of my son, the arrival of my son, his Savior, is for everyone. The third, letter C, is God is for us, not against us. It says he is with us. Emmanuel, that's what Emmanuel means. He desires to be with us, and he desires to live in us. What a powerful thing that is. And that's why we can say as we go through difficulties, as some of our church family is hurting, that God is with us. Viv, last week when I stopped to see her, she said it is really hard, but God is good. I'm sure Billy said something similar to where when I first went over to visit her after Bernard passed away, that she's seeing God work and God is good. Because God is with us. He is not against us. When we go through difficult times, when we go through 2020 and 2021, we don't know what 2022 holds. But I'm going to tell you, life's not going to get better. God promises that. We might go through some nicer things. We might be a little bit healthier, but life is not going to get better, folks. But God is walking with us when we go through that. Keep that in mind. He's not against us. And then letter D, he desires to be our Savior, but he also desires to be our Lord. And that's what it says. He is Christ the Lord. When I share the gospel with someone, I get them to the point and I talk to them about, if you pray this prayer, you're going to receive Christ as your Savior. But I say, beyond that, he wants to be our Lord, and you're receiving him as both Lord and Savior. There's a lot of Christians, I believe, who have trusted Christ as Savior. They're saved from the eternity of damnation, but they struggle on a daily basis of making him the Lord of their lives. And he desires to be not only our Savior, but he desires to be our Lord. And that's what that birth means. He is Christ, the Lord. The second is appropriate praise. Appropriate praise. Last week we looked at the Christmas story, and we said when we didn't have much information about Mary's 9 months of pregnancy, we do know about 3 months when she went to visit Elizabeth. And we kind of looked at when she walked into Elizabeth's home, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, it says the baby leaped. And we said that is a great picture, because this is a baby. Last week we looked at anticipation. Obviously, Mary and Joseph were anticipating the arrival because Gabriel told them about it. The Old Testament saints were anticipating, but even a baby in the womb was anticipating Jesus' arrival. A girl from town, Chelsea Morris, had on her Facebook page maybe a month ago, she was down marching in Washington. I don't even know what it was for. But she was carrying a sign, and she had it up. She was with some other people. And she said, an unwed mother, let me see what it said. Our salvation began with an unplanned pregnancy. Our salvation began with an unplanned pregnancy. Others were saying an unwed mother kept her baby, and he became our Savior. I posted something the other day about our salvation began with an unplanned pregnancy. And a friend from Corning wrote and said, but it was planned. And it was planned. It wasn't planned for Mary and Joseph, but it was planned by God long ago. But the whole point with all that is this baby began our salvation. We said the other night, his arrival brought the feast of Christianity to mankind. Because God said, you need to feed on me, and eat on me, you need to drink of my blood, you need to do all those things. But this arrival of this baby did that. And you know what? Mary was pro-life. Those children, Mary's, Elizabeth's, and her old age, they were not aborted, but they were loved. So we know that a baby praised God. And if you fast forward 6 months from the time when she went to visit Elizabeth to where we are in Luke chapter 2, the night of his birth, we see that it caused even more praise. And again, there's been several times throughout the series I said I would love to have been there. I would love to have gone back in history. I would love to have gone back to the Old Testament in the garden before it was, just as things were created before telephone poles and streets and things were put. I would love to have seen God's creation before man got to it. But this is a moment I would love to have been in the field. I would love to have been in the field with the shepherds knowing what the arrival of the angels meant. I wouldn't want to be out there and be scared all of a sudden with them. But if going back like in Mr. Witt's time machine, going back knowing our perspective and being in the field that night and bearing witness to the celebration that took place with the shepherds and with the angels. The Savior has been born. The one who created the world, the one who created my life, has become a human in sinless form. And later he was going to sacrifice that sinless life as a sacrifice for humanity. And I think, what must have gone through the shepherd's mind as all those stories were being unfolded to them and they were being told in verse 13, I didn't read it, but and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, the praise that must have gone through their mind, how can this be? How can God become man? And not even man, how can God become a baby? Why would God become a baby? Why would God, in all his perfection and all his glory, come into this 20-inch, 7 or 8 pound baby? How could all that come about? Why would he do that? As amazing as these events were to Mary and Joseph and to the shepherds, we often overlook the angels' side of this. What do you think the angels went through? This whole story was unfolding before them. They knew what God's plan was, but as they observed the one that they had worshipped from eternity past, remember, they had been in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Trinity. And now they're here, and they're announcing the birth that God the Son has become a man. And he's not just a man, he's a baby. And they're announcing this, and they don't understand it completely, by the way. As this begins to unfold, they're praising as well. And I want you to listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He says, concerning this salvation, about the birth of Christ and the one who died on the cross, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating that he predicted the sufferings of Christ and then the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that now have been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then he adds this, things into which angels long to look. The angels were announcing the birth of Christ, but they didn't understand it completely. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit knew it. The angels were the messengers to announce it, but they had no real concept of all that was going to be involved in that. So they were praising. They did what just came naturally to them. We see them praising God for what they saw. And folks, praise is the appropriate response for our lives, even when we go through a difficult time. Even as we go through a difficult period as a church, as we pray along with Russ and Carlene, as we pray for Viv, as we prayed for Billy and everyone who's been just struggling with so many different things, we can praise God that he is good. And that's one of the things I appreciate. Again, Carlene said so many times, she's just seen God's good hand. She sent me a picture of her doctor, and a guy who God put in her path because she needed that, a Christian man who prayed with her every time she went. She sent me a picture yesterday of him dressed as Santa Claus. I'm sure he was probably praying with somebody yesterday, but what a ministry that is. But she was able to praise God through all those things that she was going through. Nancy, when you got out, was it last year you were in with the ventilator a year and a half ago? She came out and she praised God because she said, I don't remember any of it. But she was able to focus on praising God, and praise should be part of our lives. We should be lost in praise on a daily basis. We should not be looking at everything and saying, woe is me. I have a tendency, and I've told you this before, I've been very honest with you, when I look at other people and people are ready to retire and they have this big retirement account, and I'm looking at us and saying, there's no way I'm going to be able to retire. And I get very frustrated, and rather than praising God for taking care of me all these years, I kind of focus on how are we going to be able to make this in 5 or 10 years. Are we going to be able to retire? How are we going to be able to pay for all this stuff? And rather than focus on God's goodness, I say, woe is me. So I can understand so many times that people tend to focus on themselves, but folks, we need to be able to praise God. We need to be, that should be our daily response. We should be lost in praise, not lost in self-pity, not lost in what was going to go on. Mary was told, remember, by Gabriel, that your own heart's going to be broken, your own heart's going to be pricked. She wasn't thinking about that. She knew that something was going to happen as a result of this birth. But I'm sure she was just praising God. God, thank you for choosing me. God, thank you for allowing me to be the mother of the Messiah. I'm not worried about 30 years down the road when he's going to be beaten and hang on the cross for the world's sin. I'm going to focus on his presence here tonight. And folks, that's what we need to be. We need to be focusing on praise because it is appropriate. And then peace is offered. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. I want to read two other passages, and I like to read different versions of the same passages at times. The NIV reads this way, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. King James says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I did some looking at this. There's a different word for goodwill. The Greek word for goodwill is eudokia. Okay, eudokia. And it changes if you add an S. And again, I'm just telling you this because people ask, well, how can there be different translation? How can one say favor, one say goodwill, one say God is pleased? You add an S, it changes the tense, but not the meaning. So all three of these verses are saying the same thing. People get hung up and they'll ask me, well, how can one person say this? How can one version say this? There's no good version. There's no good way of translating. It's okay. One version used add the S to eudokia, and the other two kept the S off. It didn't change the meaning. Matter of fact, they're side by side. If you look it up in Scripture, the definitions are right there. Eudokia and eudokias. They both mean the same. Both words mean the same thing. We found favor. We found God's goodwill. And that came through a son. But the word for peace, the Greek word for peace is eirene. Eirene. And that means quietness. It means peace. It means rest. And Jesus arrived that night to offer peace to all men, not just to his mom and dad, not just to the Jewish nation, not just to a group of shepherds who were gathered on a hill, not just to a small group of select individuals, but to you and I as well, to the entire world. And this message given to the shepherds as they sat in the field that night, I'm sure they were recalling the prophecy of Isaiah. Remember Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "It is said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there shall be no end." By the way, I saw a friend of mine from Bible College posted a picture yesterday. I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook page, and it had a lot of comments, but it said, "For, F-O-R, big letters, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And given was a large word. So it came as a result of this words, "We are forgiven." And I thought, I'd never seen that before. So I reposted and had a lot of comments. But I just thought that was such a neat way of looking at this verse. Because Christ came, we are forgiven. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Neat way to think about that verse. But we need to keep in mind that this peace that Jesus brought when he arrived is an offer of peace with God. In life, I have it up here, Jesus' arrival brought the peace of God, rest in this world. Even when we go through difficult times, when as a family we struggle, as a church family we go through periods of loss and mourning and grief, God offers us peace in this world. He offers us rest. But he also offers peace with God that's not available to the entire world. It's available, but not everyone has chosen. Most people choose to reject it. And the peace of God is rest in this world. Peace with God is through our salvation. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I remember Christmas one year as a little boy, I had a three-speed bike, and I thought that was pretty good until the new bikes came out. And a friend of mine down the street, Kevin Salt, got this nice, big, sleek bike. I think it was 10 or 12 speed, and it was awesome. I mean, it was so cool looking, and I had mine. It was a three-speed with a banana seat. I'm showing how old I am, huh? You know how old I am. But I just remember looking at my bike and looking at Kevin's and thinking, I don't even want to ride mine anymore. And I had asked, by the way, Cheryl says, I got everything I ever asked for from my mommy and daddy because I was the youngest. I was the only boy. And that's not true because I had asked for a new bike and I didn't get it. And I remember seeing Kevin's Christmas Day, and because it was probably a weekend like this, and everybody's out riding their new bikes. And I had my little three-speed with a banana seat, and I'm riding next to Kevin on his 12-speed. And I'm thinking, I am mad. I am mad. I didn't get the gift I wanted. I felt like going back to my house. It went through my mind. I'm going to go back and tell my parents, take everything else back. Get me that 12-speed. I didn't. I didn't do it. I did think about it. But I thought about that this week. We talked about Wednesday or Friday night memories that people had. And some people came up and said to me afterwards, this came to my mind as a memory, but they didn't want to share it. They thought it was corny or stupid. I said, you should have shared it. But that this came to my mind as a memory, and I thought, how much like the world was my attitude? I want something bigger. I want something better. I want something that I don't have. And I don't want just a salvation, because that's not doing me any good now. I want something that's going to give me some power now or give me some influence right now. I want something bigger and better and more than what I have right now. And because of that, they look past the offer of God's salvation, and they try to fill it with drugs. They try to fill it with sex. They try to fill it with everything else that comes down the road. And they say, because God's offer isn't enough. How and why has the world rejected this offer of grace? Folks, I had on our overhead, our announcements, praying for 2022, the year ahead. If you saw it, it was praying for God's blessings in the new year. I want to challenge us as a church. This is our last service before the new year. To really, let's commit to praying for 2022 of being an impact for Christ. That we will share his peace that we have as a relationship or through a relationship with his son. Let's pray that us as an individual, that us as a church, or us as individuals and us as a church will have a great impact, not only in Draper, the small little village we live in, but in Wellsboro, extend that out to Pennsylvania, extend that out to our nation, and then that we would be an impact in the world through our missionaries and through our sending and through our giving and through our support of people like the Samaritan's Purse, that we here at Draper Baptist Church will be an extension of God's peace, because we have a relationship, we have peace with God in eternity. But we need to offer peace with God to the world who's desperately, desperately looking. I was in school this week at the high school, and I was just talking to kids, just not really sharing with them, but most kids now know I'm a pastor. And they were just asking, oh, Mr. Hagee, you ready for Christmas? I said, yeah. I said, we're looking forward to our Christmas Eve. So, oh, you're going to church, you know, so it's all that. But I said, you know, Christmas is so much beyond the gifts. And some kids listened, some kids didn't. And I said, it's the birth of my Savior. That's all I said. I only said it to maybe four or five kids. It was probably 10 or 12 kids in the classroom at that point. And I said, yeah, it's just the birth of my Savior. And sometimes they just kind of look at you like, you really believe that? But you know I do, and I pray that they do. And folks, let's really commit to praying that 2022, we can look beyond the sicknesses, we can look beyond the whatever next variant's going to come down the road, and we can say there's hope in Christ because through a relationship with Christ. Let's be the extensions of his peace, okay? Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your son. And I thank you, Lord, that I have a personal relationship with him offered to me through his birth, through his death, through your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who ministers it. And Lord, I pray for myself. Lord, as I attempt to hide your word in my heart as we go through this memory pack, Lord, that this year we would hide even more than 6 verses. And trust that some of us did that. Maybe we'll hide another 6 or maybe 12 this year. And that your word will be hidden in us, but not just memorizing it, Lord, but your word would impact us. And Lord, I pray the Draper Baptist Church and everyone here would make an impact in our world in 2022, that we would represent the God of peace and the offer that you make of a peaceful relationship with God and having the peace of God in this life. Help us to represent you well, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you all for coming today. Thank Paige for playing today. And we hope that you have a good time with your family and friends this afternoon. And you're dismissed.